Now I want to talk about being worship warriors. So will you pray with me as we begin? Heavenly Father, we are so, so thankful that you chose to rescue us. We recognize the reality that we are sin-stained and unworthy, but we also recognize the magnitude of your grace, your love, your compassion, that you chose to make a way for us to be forgiven. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for coming to earth, taking on flesh, and then going to the cross to be the sacrificial lamb, the sacrifice for our sins, the propitiation of our sins. We celebrate this truth and we respond in faith. We say thank you, we receive it. And now we thank you for your sending your Spirit to indwell us, to live inside of us, to seal us, to sanctify us, to bring all this into completion inside of us, to make us not just natural, but now spiritually alive people. We receive you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We receive you as sanctifier and healer and Savior and coming King. We receive you for who you are and all your magnitude, and we respond in worship and adoration, and we respond by being your people on this planet to accomplish your will and to extend your kingdom. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, today is one of my favorite days in the church calendar. This is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost simply means 50 days, but it's 50 days after Passover. And on this day, God's plan for making you and me able to be rescued by Him and actually now empowered by Him to live for Him becomes reality. This is the day in history when the Father and the Son sent the Spirit to indwell the believers, to make them not just natural beings, but now spiritually alive beings. And so we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. This is recorded for us in our New Testament reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2. I invite you to turn with me to Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" The Holy Spirit was sent from the Father and the Son on this assigned day to not just rest upon, but enter into, live inside of every one who has responded to the good news, repented of their sins, placed their faith in Christ. They now receive the adoption as sons or daughters, enter into the family of God, and are filled with God Himself, God the Spirit. There's miracles that take place here. We can think of the miracle of them being together in one place because they'd scattered on the evening Christ was betrayed. They were praying for these 10 days between Christ's ascension and waiting now for the Spirit to ascend. 10 days of prayer. And before they couldn't even pray 1 hour with Jesus on the evening that he was betrayed. And then there's this center miracle where the Spirit himself descends from the Father to every believer to not just rest upon them like he occasionally did in the Old Testament when he'd come upon a judge or upon a prophet. Here now was the Spirit moving into, living inside of every believer. And then the next miracle, the fourth miracle on this Pentecost. What did the believers do immediately upon being filled with God, God the Spirit? What did they do? It's described by the observers. It's described by those who were watching. It says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. The Living Bible says, we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. The Berean Bible says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God. The King James says, we hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. The Christian Standard Bible says, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God. And the Contemporary English Bible says, we hear them, using our own language, tell the wonderful things God has done. What is this phrase? The word laleo is simply the Greek word for speak or to tell or to utter. So they're declaring with their mouth. But what are they declaring? They're declaring the magnificent, the splendid, the majestic works of God. It's the Greek word megaleos. Mega, you know, that's the word for huge or for big or for great. They're telling with their mouths, what God has done, the great things he has done. What are they doing? They are worshiping. They are entering into high worship, high praise. They're declaring that God has rescued. God has had victory. God has conquered the devil. God has removed our sin from us. God has done something so magnificent, so mega, so huge, we cannot help but talk about it. They praise God. The miracle of Pentecost is not just that they gather, not just that they prayed, even not just that the Spirit descended upon each of them, although that is certainly the central component of it, but the result of it was the miracle of these ones who had been cowering now declaring with everything they've got the grandeur, the greatness, the magnificence of God. They moved from being cowerers to being worshipers. They moved from being scared to being boldly declaring the greatness of God. The miracle of Pentecost is worship. Now, it's sad that over the generations, many have been distracted by the fact that they did it in languages that were not their known languages. That certainly is a miracle. That certainly is part of it. But I believe the devil has tried to distract people from the key issue here. They were filled with the Spirit to become worshipers. You worship in whatever language you want to, whether it's one you've learned or one the Holy Spirit supernaturally empowers. But what we do with that is we worship God. It's the miracle of worship. Oh, there were attempts to worship before. But it's not until the Spirit indwells that supernatural worship comes out of the deep parts of a believer. And we join in heaven's voice. We join in heaven's chorus, our own words, in the praise and adoration and constant giving glory to the Lord God Almighty, the Rescuer, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who creates everything and recreates us to now be participants in the very plan of heaven, the miracle of worship. Now, what happens when God's people worship? What happens when God's people are filled with the Spirit and let that turn them into worshipers and declarers? The fifth miracle on this Pentecost Sunday is that the crowd heard. The crowd had their attitude and their interests changed. The atmosphere around the believers changed. So that now all these visitors to Jerusalem are suddenly drawn to the worship that's going on. They're passing by this upper room where the believers are declaring the great deeds of God, the mega works of God, and they're drawn to it and paying attention to it. So that then, Peter is able to say, what you are watching is fulfillment of what God promised. And he preaches his first Christian sermon, and thousands respond to the message of the good news of Christ. Thousands repent of their sins. Thousands become believers. Thousands become filled with the Spirit. The church is birthed on this day. The worshipers are empowered on this day. And the result is a change in the atmosphere of that whole city on this day. So here's my declaration to each of us. What God did on the first Pentecost, he wants to do on every Pentecost. What God did on that day, he wants to do on every day. God wants to pour out his Spirit on every believer so that every believer becomes empowered by the Spirit to be a worshiper of God, a declarer of the mighty deeds of God, so that the very atmosphere is changed. I believe that as we worship in this room, the things outside of our building are changed. As we worship in this facility, other aspects of our community are impacted. Because worship is not just a physical thing, and worship is not just a spiritual thing. Worship is a supernatural thing empowered by the very Spirit of God himself. So as we join our voices with the Spirit in the chorus of heaven, it impacts the earth. And the Lord's Prayer is fulfilled. We start out by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We worship, and all of a sudden, his kingdom comes. His will is done, not just in heaven, but on earth. We're receiving it. We're hearing it. We're participating in it. As we worship, we hear the very word of God resonating inside of us, being spoken into us by the Spirit, so that we're declaring it, and it becomes the word of God impacting the world around us. We become worshiping warriors who change the planet. Next week, I want to talk about how we see this in the future books of the Bible. We're going to look at Revelation. But today, I want to go backwards 1,000 years to show you that this was the plan of God even 1,000 years earlier. I want to take you to a very fascinating Psalm 149. Psalm 149. And this is part of the grouping of psalms that are the praise the Lord psalms, the hallelujah psalms. It starts with hallelujah and it ends with hallelujah. And what we're going to see here is this center pivot point in this psalm that has two phrases that seem to be so divergent, so different, but in actuality are the completion of God's Pentecost plan. We're going to eventually get our way down to verse 6, where we have this amazing thing where they're talking about having the high praises of God deep in our throats, and at the same time having the sword, the two-edged sword of God in our hands. Imagine that, having the deep praises of God deep down in our throats where it gutters out of us, and at the same time having a sword in our hand. Praises and a sword. Worshippers who are warriors. Psalm 149. Psalm 149 reads, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. And then an interlude, verse 4. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. In a continuation, verse 5, let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. I'll pause at this pivot point, because what we've read so far in these verses are 10 declarations, 10 exhortations to praise God. 10 different words are used. 10 different phrases are employed to help us, to invite us, to encourage us to worship. To worship with everything we've got. To worship with every ounce of our being. To worship with the enablement of the Spirit. 10 exhortations to speak out. Hallelujah. The word hallel is the word to give joyful praise. And you put Yah on the end. That's the word for Yahweh. So it's an exhortation to praise the Lord with joyful praise. The second word is sing. It's a simple word, to sing a song, like a bird almost. And some of you do sound like birds. Some birds squawk, some birds croak, and some birds have beautiful melodies. But whatever type of voice you have, we are called to join our voices with the birds to worship the Lord. And then next we sing Tehillah, to praise with a joyful song. The emphasis is on it being a bubbling, joyful song. Verse 2 uses the word to be glad or to enjoy or to cheer oneself up in God's presence, to delight in God. And then the next word is to rejoice, to be joyful, excited, to bubble over, to be giddy in God. Then the root word hallel is used by itself, praise, again, joyful praise. And then this word making melody, using instruments, like the plucking of strings to worship God. There's this interlude then at verse 4, and consider what he's saying here. In the midst of all these exhortations to praise, he's reminding us that as we praise, we are entering into a connection with God, an interaction with God, a participation with God, an interplay with God, so that we are sensing as we praise empowered by the Spirit, that he's receiving pleasure and he's actually pleased with us. It says the Lord takes pleasure in his people. You realize when you praise, you bring pleasure to God. And as you bring pleasure to God, you enter into that intimacy with him, receiving a sense of that pleasure. There's empowerment that comes when you enter in to his pleasure. When you feel his pleasure, when you receive his pleasure, when you're connected to him. It's like a turbo boost to your prayers. It's a breakthrough that occurs. We praise and we praise and we praise, and then we recognize that God inhabits the praises of his people. He's drawing us into his presence, empowering us to continue even deeper in prayer. So verse 5 uses this word, exult in prayer, or jump for joy in praise. It's an exulting over the fact that our enemies are defeated, that we triumph over our enemies, and we feel his pleasure as we triumph over them and we experience breakthrough. And there's this sense, verse or number 9, is that we are singing loudly with a triumphant shout of victory. We shout to the Lord, the declaration of his mega works as we worship him. And then number 10, the high praises of God in our throats. Have you worshiped God? Not just in your mouth, not just with your lips, but deep down where you gargle, where you hum, where there's a reverberation. When something's so good, you just go, God is so good. Better than the best steak I could ever eat. Better than the best cup of coffee with chocolate I could ever drink. The best imaginable thing. You just go, That's how I want to worship. A shout preceded it. Exulting preceded that. But it eventually gets to this high point of praise where I just go, God! I worship you because you're so good. When we enter into that, God empowers us. The second half of that verse, 6b, it's fascinating. For suddenly after there's the high praise of God deep in our throats, 6b says there's a two-edged sword in our hands. It's as if we worship and we're drawn into His presence, we're empowered by His Spirit, we hear His will, and we declare His will on the earth just as it is in heaven. We speak forth His kingdom plan on earth just as it is in heaven. And we become the mouthpieces to declare the will of God, the kingdom of God, and we break down the resistance to the plan of God. It's like a two-edged sword in our hands coming out of our mouths, and it says it does this amazing work. And I believe this is not a physical work, it's a spiritual work. And it's going to use words like vengeance and justice. And it's going to mention people, but I want you to see this not as humans, but as the principalities, as the powers, as the authorities that we're breaking down so that the will of God can be accomplished in humans, says verse 6b, and a two-edged sword in their hands. Verse 7, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. That's spiritual warfare. That's what Paul tells us about in Ephesians chapter 6, where it tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might and put on the whole armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the very Word of God. We join in with the plan of God. We hear the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. We speak the Word of God. And it impacts the world, breaking down the resistance. Or like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Verses 3 through 6, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. No. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but rather have divine power to destroy strongholds. So we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. We are hearing from God, speaking the Word of God, breaking loose the entanglements that the devil has foisted on people and on nations and on communities, setting them free to respond to the truth of God and be rescued by God. How's this psalm end? Psalm 149, last verse. This is the honor for all His godly ones. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You and me, called by God to enter into supernatural worship, which means Spirit-empowered worship, which first occurred on Pentecost and now can happen every day when believers are letting the Spirit worship through them. And then because we're entering into high worship, we then become the declarers of the will of God and the kingdom of God on the earth, so that even the principalities and powers are broken, that people are set free, so that the interlude verse can take place, that the Lord will take pleasure in His people and adorn the humble with salvation. Worshippers who are warriors. Warriors who worship. People filled with the Spirit, doing the Spirit's work on earth as it is in heaven. That's how lives get set free. That's how people who are in bondage get set free. That's how marriages are healed. That's how diseased bodies get restored. That's how hopeless situations confused by the world's lies suddenly get rescued and brought into, set free from the demonic so that the truth of God aligns people with the very plan of God, the word of God, the truth of God. This is the day the church is born, Pentecost Sunday. Yes, they gathered. Yes, they prayed. But the miracle of the Spirit now living inside of them, and then the miracle of them once being Spirit-filled, being turned into declarers of the mega works of God, worshipers, declarers, who are then lifted up as God inhabits their praises to connect with them in such a spiritual intimacy that they then hear the very word of God. The Bible comes alive, the Spirit activates it, and they become the declarers on earth of God's perfect will. You become the agent on the planet of God's Spirit to set people free, that they might humble themselves, that they might respond to God's gift of salvation, that they might then become people in whom God takes pleasure. Let the high praises of God reverberate deep in your throat. Let God ratchet you up. Start with hallelujah. Move on ever higher. Shouts of joy, songs of joy, strum the strings. Let it reverberate out of you as you exalt Him with shouts and even guttural groans of, God, you are so good. And then we declare war. May the will of God be done. May that person be set free. May that horrible ploy of the enemy be broken. May God be recognized. May the nations be loosed for the glory and the pleasure of the King. Let's pray. God, we need help to worship. We need help to declare your greatness. We can't do this in our own strength. Thank you for sending yourself, the Spirit of God, to live inside of us. We invite you, Spirit of God, to fill us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to dwell, to abide, to remain, to be in us, that our human spirit now might be the place of habitation of the divine Spirit of God. We invite that, we welcome that, we receive that, and we affirm that that's your plan for each and every one of us. We say yes. And we invite you to empower us in this miracle of declaring the mega works, the greatness, the gloriousness of God. We present ourselves as supernatural worshipers. We're not going to do it on our own strength. Forgive us for trying that. We're going to let you activate it inside of us. We're not going to fake it. We're not going to try to mimic somebody else. We're going to let you, God, cause us to be mouthpieces of, declarers of the goodness, the greatness, the power of God. We pray this for the glory of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.